This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with my co-host, Tim Henney. Well, Park City is a pretty healthy place. When we take supplements, it's usually to enhance an already healthy lifestyle. But even healthy people can be on prescription meds. And our next guest, Dr. Michael Roizen, will lead us through some possible interactions and ways to improve your body's reaction to supplements and vitamins while taking prescription medicine. Taking a statin, you'll want to add CoQ10. Taking a medication for allergies or inflammation, consider adding vitamin D and calcium. Dr. Michael Roizen is the Chief Wellness Officer of the Wellness Institute at the Cleveland Clinic. He's also the Chief Medical Consultant to the Dr. Oz Show, and he's a best-selling author of over a dozen books. Dr. Roizen, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Great to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, you are a busy guy. Something I didn't mention is that you also have your own radio show called You, the Owner's Manual podcast. And it has a lot of really interesting topics. What is your come from with your medical practice? Do you practice functional medicine? Are you allopathic? Are you naturopathic or combo?
I'm a classic internist who practices a lot of lifestyle medicine. So the Wellness Institute, which I started and ran here for 10 years, and I'm now Chief Wellness Officer of the clinic, we're really responsible for the 101,000 employees and dependents the Cleveland Clinic has, as well as, and part of that is to get them and keep them healthy. And the other prospect is we do both functional and integrative medicine and executive health. So those are really the main components. So we span the gist of allopathic, chiropractic, acupuncture, yoga, the full range, teaching culinary medicine, et cetera. So we have the full range of medical practices. I myself am both an anesthesiologist and an internist. I wanted to run an ICU when we started, but now I'm fairly far away from that.
Wow. So part of integrative medicine is just as it sounds, integrating being in this case, and what we're going to talk about in the next few moments is integrating supplements and vitamins with the prescription medications that you may already be taking. About 50% of adults are on prescription medicine of some kind or another. Is that right?
Right. And more than that are on supplements. Mm-hmm. So the interaction between the two is one that is both quite common and quite unrecognized. 60% of people don't tell their physicians about all the supplements or any of the supplements they're on. And so that's where some of the problem gets in. And that's what PersonaNutrition.com aims to solve.
And Dr. Roizen, let's just get your perspective on both supplements and prescription medication. We have lots of discussions on this show with people who feel that there's a over-prescription epidemic, and we all know people who sort of achieve better health through medication, and we have views on that. I'm sure everybody has their own view on that. It's hard to go against your doctor when they prescribed a handful of drugs to you. And at the same time, we hear different perspectives on the benefits or the perceived benefits and whether perception and reality match up on supplements. Where do you stand on those two?
Well, let me go and say there are roles for both in helping you to optimize your health. So if you had high blood pressure, yes, we will try lifestyle and other things to help you lower your blood pressure if you want to do it, but we'll often set limits. So I will be seeing whatever it is, 5 or 10 patients this afternoon. And if one of them has, for example, high blood pressure, that's above 125 over and above 85, the bottom number, then we'll say, okay, you can do this with lifestyle. You can do it with meaning exercise, food, stress management, and getting rid of some toxins if they have it. But if they don't succeed in 6 months, we will start them on a blood pressure medicine. And there are enough blood pressure medicines and other things. There are 150 different classes of blood pressure medicines, believe it or not. So if you want increased libido, we can give you that as a side effect. If you want decreased libido, we can get you that. But in any case, the point is that we use those to help control things that people either don't or won't control with lifestyle, food, stress management, the basics, if you will. And supplements, there are eight that have been shown in randomized controlled trials to benefit the average person for optimal health over the age of 50. Some even that should be taken younger. So, for example, a multivitamin for someone in the pregnant, it's a female in the potentially pregnant age, since 50% of pregnancies are unplanned, almost every female should be on a prenatal from during their sexually active years, because it decreases congenital birth defects by 85%, decreases cancers to age 5 in the youngster by 65%, decreases autism and autism spectrum disorders if you take it 3 months prior to pregnancy by about 30%. So there are some things that you should take that have pretty darn good data that their benefit is greater than the risk to almost everyone. There are others where you want to balance the risk. You're in Park City. Well, if you do skiing or extreme sports, then probably you shouldn't be taking an aspirin as preventive against cancer and heart disease, whereas most people who don't do extreme sports who are over the age of 50 should be. So we can go into any of those topics you want.
Well, you just mentioned the eight kind of proven beneficial or proven supplements that have proven benefits. Could you just go through that list? I know some of them you've already touched upon, you know, and Lynn did in the introduction.
So multivitamin, half in the morning, half in the evening. Why split? Because the water-soluble components you urinate out in under 16 hours. You see that with a change in color of your urine that fades. And so to get a stable level of those, which we think is important for long-term prevention of both cardiovascular disease and cancer, as has been shown in the randomized studies of over 20 years, that's so you want half in the morning, half the evening of a multi. Vitamin D to get a level of 50 to 80. Not related to cardiovascular disease, but related to cancer prevention and death rate from cancer. Just vital study came out last week. Didn't show any benefit of cancer incidence, but showed a 25% reduction in cancer mortality. So the severities of the cancer appear reduced in that randomized study. Also some data on brain functioning and joint functioning with it. Third one is calcium and magnesium. You don't want the calcium without the magnesium, and that's for a number of functions. Most of us don't get enough calcium from diet. So these are all adjusted based on diet and maybe levels like vitamin D. Fourth is a CoQ10 if you're taking a statin. CoQ10 levels are 50% reduced in statins. Roughly 60% of people over the age of 50 are taking a statin in the United States. Wow. So if you're doing that, then you want to have 200 milligrams of CoQ10. Fifth, I mentioned already, an aspirin, checking with your physician first because there is risk of bleeding.
Yeah.
And the benefit is with half a glass of warm water before and after. I think the sixth one is a probiotic, which, believe it or not, if you have a probiotic, one of the major benefits as you get older is it increases bone strength. Now I'm blanking on the other two, so I should think about what I take every day. But anyway, those are the...
I can Oh, I can help you out with one. And that is a synthetic thyroid pill. And I know that a lot of women of menopausal age are on a thyroid pill. But you mentioned things that you shouldn't take at the same time or within 4 hours of taking the thyroid pill. And I forget, I think I know one's iron, maybe one's calcium, and there's another something or other
soy.
That you shouldn't. So, and soy.
You don't want to eat soy with it because those things bind the thyroid hormone. So you don't absorb it. They and the iron, or they and the calcium, or they and the soy will get excreted in your poop, if you will, and you won't get the benefit of either. So that's why if you take a thyroid supplement, maybe you should take it first thing in the morning and then not eat before you even brush your teeth, type of thing. And then 2 hours later, or you can have breakfast, if you will, and try and avoid foods with calcium, iron, or soy in them for breakfast.
Okay. So back to vitamin D. A friend of mine is a breast cancer survivor, and she does a really great job. She's on a crusade to educate everyone, especially in the Facebook world, on how to... It's kind of interesting. She posts a lot of things that I wasn't really aware of, and I wasn't aware that you should take vitamin D with calcium. And she just posted that a few weeks ago, and then it was interesting to read it with you. Can you go back? I have heard 10,000 IUs of vitamin D, but you mentioned another amount.
It's different depending on your blood level. In other words, we measured vitamin D2 or D3, and no one knows which is the correct thing to measure, but they come out in the same measurement. So it's vitamin D2 or D3, and you want to level the data are pretty clear in breast cancer more than anything else, that a level above 35 is better than a level below 35 for both prevention and survival. We don't know whether there's some suggestions that 50 is better than 35, but the way we do things is we want to have four studies in humans, and we only have one on that. But so we shoot, based on that, we shoot for levels of 50 to 80, definitely above 35. As you get older, you don't absorb it as well, and your skin doesn't make it as well. So in Park City, where you've got a lot of sun, maybe as you get over the age of 50 and you measure it, you'll see that your level, even if you're out in the sun, your skin isn't making it from your precursor, so you have to take a little bit, usually from 50 to 60. It's 1,000 international units. From 60 to 65, you may go to 2,000 or 3,000. Above 65, it may be 5,000 a day, and above 75, maybe 10,000 a day. But it's very dependent on your level. You don't get toxicity until you get a level above 110, and that usually is absorption of too much calcium, which can lead to kidney stones. But that's the only downside. And you probably, because it's fat soluble, you probably only need to measure it once or twice a year.
I know in my recent blood analysis, I was just below whatever limit you're talking about. You know, the 35 with the vitamin D, and I was told to take vitamin D supplement, which is really interesting because you pointed out that living in Park City, you know, maybe we get a little more sunlight than the average resident of the United States. And I feel that I get more than the average Park City resident, and yet I was still vitamin D deficient. So it makes a lot of sense.
Especially in the winter, the sun doesn't have enough energy to convert inactive to active vitamin D in a line above Los Angeles and Atlanta. So Park City's a little above that. So my guess is the sun most days, even if it's bright out, can't convert. So you're at this time of year, you're banking on the stuff you had before October 15th when the sun loses that energy burst or doesn't have enough energy where we are. The point of that is we adjust it for you. And that's the point in the Persona Nutrition www.thewasatch.com website is they will look at your values, tell you what tests you need to get, as well as talk to you about the interactions and what most people of your age and gender and other medical problems should be taking based on the science that we know of.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that, and you just hit on it, the test that people can take, because I found it very easy, and that was a little surprising to me. I don't tend to go to doctors very often, and I skipped a long period without even getting a physical, but I'm on track now, and because I'm 60, so I figured I might as well. But I got a blood test, and that blood test provided an analysis and a baseline that all sorts of things were discovered and recommendations made, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, these levels of D and E and all the various things. So it's very easy to do, or do you find that people don't know how easy it is?
Well, most people, as you bring out, don't know how easy it is, and men especially, until they usually get a medical problem, avoid doctors like the plague. So I'm glad you're mentioning that. But in fact, I'll tell you, since I ran executive health here for a while, our first visit with people, and it's usually sometime between 50 and 60 for men, is we change therapy. That is, they need a change in therapy for a major condition, not a vitamin D modification, but something major, 83% of the time. The second visit a year later, they have something that requires changing about 22%. And then after that, and those may be smaller things like your vitamin D level, after that, it's about 10 to 15% a year. So there is a value in seeing a physician in preventing disease as well as, if you will, treating it. And the Persona Nutrition site isn't a substitute for a physician, but it will supplement, if you will, seeing a physician. There's many physicians, one, don't have time, and many of the electronic medical records, the major two, don't in fact have interactions between supplements and drugs. They do have drug-drug interactions, very well done, but they usually don't have drug supplements. So see a pharmacist, or you can go to personanutrition.com to get that data.
Our guest is Dr. Michael Roizen. He is the Chief Wellness Officer of the Wellness Institute at the Cleveland Clinic. He is a prolific book writer, and in fact, we're talking today about personanutrition.com and the reactions of prescribed medicine to supplements and vitamins, but also you have a book coming out that I just thought I'd ask you about before we let you go.
Thank you. It's called What to Eat When. The data are pretty clear. So it has two components to it. One is we now know that when you eat food is as important as what you eat to your overall health. And the second part of the book is fun things like what to eat for if you're on a first date, what to eat before an interview, what to eat to build muscle, what to eat, what's the data on what to eat to fight off a cold, what to eat for improving your memory, et cetera. So that's the second part of it. The first part is that the data are pretty clear that you should be eating bigger meals earlier and smaller meals later in the day, and in fact that you should, if you will, in the overall scheme of things, only eat while the sun is out. So you want a period of about 14 hours of non-food eating.
All right. Well, I just looked up personanutrition.com. It's interesting because you can do a five-minute assessment that might help you. I know many times I'll go to the doctor and they'll say, what kind of supplements or nutrition do you, or medications do you take? And I'll say, oh, I don't take anything. And then they've got in my file, oh, well, what about this progesterone? And what about this, that, and the other? And I go, oh, yeah. And so, and I forget sometimes because I go in and out of taking vitamin D, depending on the season. And so it is a good starting point to go again on Persona Nutrition.com and start the assessment and see what it can do for you.
That's exactly right. So I don't think they have my book there, What to Eat When, but that will come out December 31st. So,
oh, great. Maybe you can come back and join us when that comes out.
I would love to. Thanks, Lynn.
All right, Dr. Michael Roizen, thanks for joining us on The Mountain Life. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.